The closing arguments of the prophets had grown cold during a 400-year silence from the Lord. The religious landscape had been transformed by new titles like Pharisee and Sadducee. The temple was not good enough for the people, and they wanted more, and so they built synagogues. The people of God were once again trapped in an outside-controlled government. Under Roman rule, a huge power struggle had taken over the land. The king who was sitting on the throne was a fearful man who would do anything to protect his power. But then the silence was broken. When the rest of the world was trying to fit into the new cultural landscape, God was still working out his promise. An old priest named Zechariah, whose wife could not conceive, was the first to hear the breaking of the silence. He was told that in his old age that he would have a son and that he would be the one who would cry out into the wilderness and tell the world about the Lamb of God. These two servants of God, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were both priests of priestly descent and were very old, you know, older than 40. Their age was over the age of the lifespan of the people at that time. And they were told that they were going to have a son and that they would be able to tell, he would be telling about the Messiah. The silence was broken again to a woman named Mary. She was most likely a young teenager and was told that she would bear a son who would be from the Holy Spirit and that he would be the Savior of the whole world. Imagine with me the pain that she went through to face her friends and family with the news that she has a virgin pregnancy. She was faithful, and God wanted to have his son born into a family unit, and so he sent word to Joseph, who apparently was not a believer in this virgin birth, and he would be charged now with raising the Son of God. These two young followers of God were then forced to travel to the town of Bethlehem because of the cruel king of the land, who was no king at all because the Romans were really in charge. He was requiring an accounting of all the people. Because God foretold in the Old Testament that from the house of David, he would raise up a new king and unite the whole world, this took place. They traveled together and they arrived in this little town to spend the night, and Mary was very pregnant, according to the scriptures, but no one had a guest room for them. There was no room in the warm parts of the house, and they were forced to stay in the stable portion of the property. That night, with the sounds and smells of the barnyard, the Son of God arrived. No one in Bethlehem had a clue what was taking place. While they were sleeping, or maybe even catching up with relatives who had traveled to their family's hometown for this accounting, the promise of God was delivered. Here in this small town, known as we heard tonight, is the house of bread. The bread of life had come. The star that the wise men were following was in the heavens, declaring that the light of the world was here. But no one in this town had a clue. Everyone was going about their business, and there was no room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah called for the people, though, to make room, didn't he? In Isaiah 54, he said this: "Sing, barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has had a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. The promise of God where he said, make room, and yet in the town of Bethlehem, there was no room for the Savior. Will you make room in your life? The light that shines in the darkness is calling for you to see him. As you wonder and watch the world go by, he is calling you to come home. The rest of the world, and as we learned this morning, 95% of Americans, what Jerry was telling us, celebrate Christmas, and many of them don't even know about Jesus. Like that video we saw this morning, where Linus gets to tell Charlie Brown, because he's like, does anybody know what the real meaning is? Americans travel in great numbers to the homes of their hometown and their families, kind of just like Mary and Joseph did. They bring gifts to the children and to the child in all of us, right? Just like the Magi brought gifts to the Savior sometime after his birth. We cut down a tree and we bring it into our house and we decorate it. And you know, it's a tree that is always green. It's a tree that represents the tree of life in our lives. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Christmas tree reminds us that it's green through every storm. And God is there to give us life through every storm. There's so many people who want to have the Savior in their lives, but they still don't have room. Casting Crowns sang a song a few years ago, and I want to read that to you today. It's called While You Were Sleeping. O little town of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the king has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. O Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. O Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping. O little town of Jerusalem, the Father gave his only Son, the way, the truth, and the life had come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you'll go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. United States of America. Looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away into the night. America, what we'll miss while we're sleeping. Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America will go down in history as a nation with no room for its king while we were sleeping. Don't miss it tonight. Don't miss the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. The gift of God for salvation. Don't miss this story. The Savior of the world has come and he wants to save you. And all you need to do is make room. Open your life for him. There's a beautiful prayer written by a band that I like called Reliant K. And if you look them up, you might like them, and you might say, what's wrong with Haas? It's okay. They're a Christian band, but they wrote these really incredible words that I want to read to you tonight. And with this Christmas wish is missed, the point I could convey. If only I could find the words to say to let you know how much you touched my life. Because here is where you're finding me, in the exact same place as New Year's Eve. From the lack of my persistency, we're less than half as close as I want to be. And the first time that you open your eyes, did you realize that you would be my Savior? And the first breath that left your lips, did you know that it would change the world forever? And so this Christmas, I'll compare the things I felt in prior years to what this midnight made so clear, that you have come to meet me here, to look back and to think that this baby would one day save me, in hope that what you did, that you were born so that I might live, to look back and think that the baby would one day save me. And I celebrate the day that you were born to die so I could one day pray for you to save my life. I don't think Mary knew how big of a chore she had to raise the Son of God. And I often wonder what Jesus knew when he was little. As he grew up, but he had this gift to give us. You know, we can't have another silent night. We can't fall asleep in this world and miss the greatness of our God. He's alive, amen? He's in love with you. This week I got to perform a wedding for a girl that was in my youth group when she was in sixth grade, and she's 26 years old now. I remember the day that her and several other students came into the youth group. We had this big party, and they got to take pies and put it in my face if they got trivia about me correct. And it was a fun night. I'll never forget, though, you know, weddings are beautiful, right? I mean, they're just really a cool thing to be a part of. But here she was coming around the corner and walking down the aisle. There's only 20 people in the whole audience, but the groom lost it. Now, they didn't do the traditional thing where the groom doesn't see the bride, and we had a prayer where the grandfather prayed over them in the hallway before the ceremony. So that surprised me, that as soon as she came around the corner, he loses it and begins to weep. It was because he loved her, and because he was so overwhelmed with joy because of who was walking down the aisle. And I want you to know today that we're the bride of Christ. And that's how Jesus feels about you. When he sees you coming to him, he's overwhelmed with joy. Zephaniah 3:17 tells us that he begins to sing over us with joy. He over us with his love. He sings over us. The New Testament tells us that if one person comes to him, comes to the Lord, returns to the Lord, it says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. We used to say that the angels rejoice, but the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. God is rejoicing, and what he's doing when he's rejoicing is he's singing over you. We're his people and he loves us. Don't sleep through that. Don't look away. We're his bride. He wants a relationship with you and wants you to know how very special you are. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says this, "And the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory." The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace for your life and truth for you to live by. While you are asleep at the wheel, still sinners, Christ died for you in order to set you free. And he made a promise. And his promise is this. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." You know, some of the older translations say many mansions. It's kind of like this separate thing. I don't want to be in a house outside of God. I want to be in the house of God, amen? And this is what he's trying to say. He's like, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know the place I'm going," right? And they're like, "Well, where are you going?"
which way? Show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Jesus made a promise. The whole reason he came was to save you. Although people didn't know he was here when he was here, we have the whole story. And we're able to celebrate that today. Amen? When we think about the Son of God being revealed, I'm just blown away. Little kids try to tell the story. Like Jerry was talking about this morning, we can sometimes make it into an art piece and make it sentimental. But then maybe we can be the kind of people who really make Jesus real. There's a book, it's called Jesus in the Present Tense. And it's about the I am statements about Jesus. And I want you to capture this in your mind's eye. Jesus is in the present tense. This is not an old story. This is your story. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus is alive right now. This, you're living in the days of Elijah, like the song, you know, singing about the days of Elijah. You're living in those days right now because God is alive and God is real. We're going to sing a song, and it's not an invitation song, although it's an encouragement for us to realize, you know, it's the song we ended with this morning on Silent Night. And I want you to think about this great and awesome gift. When I was a little boy, we didn't celebrate Christmas with Jesus in it because of religious thoughts of, okay, it wasn't December 25th, and it was, you know, all those kind of things. And that many of you were maybe raised the same way. And I remember going to my grandmother's house in Illinois, and there was a cake put out, and this birthday cake, and it said, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And I looked at my dad waiting for the response, how am I supposed to act? And he's like, it's all good. It's okay. You know, as the whole world looks at Jesus tomorrow, if your family doesn't know Jesus, take the opportunity to tell them about him. Because we're celebrating him. And they're celebrating him. Cutting down an evergreen tree and bringing it into their house can represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It can represent life coming. It can represent Eden by the tree of life in there as you hang things on it, right? I mean, you're telling the story. They're telling the story. Take that opportunity. Don't make it a silent night, and don't be asleep at the wheel. We're going to sing about a different kind of silent night where Jesus brought peace to our hearts, peace to our lives, peace to the turmoil that was going on. So let's stand and we'll sing this song.
Silent night, holy.